Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. It's good to be with you this morning. We'll just let people join us over the next minute or two, and then we'll actually get started here. Well, let's begin. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's good to all be together. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. I hope this day is a blessing to you. And we're here to get together because God is still good. And God is good all of the time, and He deserves our worship all of the time. And I really like that we get to gather together online. We're getting a lot of people here together who are part of the Unity family, and we can be family together in this sense, together even online today, and still give God the worship that He deserves, and remind ourselves of who He is, and to sit under His word and ask for ears to hear and eyes to see what He's doing. And so it's good to be together. So thanks for setting this time aside so that we can do this together. You encourage others as they see you on the screen and hear your voices and know that you are agreeing as the prayers are prayed and so on. So we're going to worship together this morning. Let's start with our greeting. This is from Jude. God says, "To those called and loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be yours more and more." Receive that from the Lord this morning as we go into our time of worship. And because He has called us, we offer our worship back to Him. So let's enter into our call to worship and respond to God together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Give thanks to the Lord, for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for humankind. You can join them too, okay? And it says all. Some sat in darkness, prisoners suffering in chains because they rebelled against God's commands. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. Together. Give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for humankind. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered because of their iniquities. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. Give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for humankind. Amen. Let's worship the Lord through song this morning. We're now going to have another God story. As I've said before, I'm trying to find stories and people who would be willing to share a little bit about what God is doing in their lives right now. And I hope you're going to be willing to share at some point. And I hope I don't even need to tap you on the shoulder. I would love it if a few people would come forward and say, hey, I got a little thing that God's been doing in my life. I'd love to share it. It could be good. It could be challenging. It doesn't matter. We want to know what God's doing in your life. And I tapped Heidi on the shoulder recently and asked if she'd share a little bit about what God's been doing in her life. And the reason I did that was just because she shared with us during one of the mingling times after the service one day. Heidi's been working up in Edmonton with Hope Mission. And most of us are familiar now with a little bit of what Hope Mission does here in Red Deer, and that's primarily related to schools and working with children in before and after, or in after school programs. But Heidi's doing something different, and I would love it if Heidi could share a little bit about what she is doing with Hope Mission, and then we'll talk just a little bit more about what God's doing in her life. So thanks for being with us, Heidi.
All right, yeah, no problem. Am I coming through all right?
Yeah, you're great. We can hear you. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. I guess right now I'm working on the Hope Mission Crisis Diversion Team, which is like basically in Edmonton they realized that a lot of people who were in a bad situation but not quite enough crisis that they should really end up in hospital were ending up in hospital when they shouldn't be. So for instance, maybe a guy was really intoxicated and probably in not a very good situation, so someone called EMS because they want to make sure he was safe. But a drunk person really doesn't need to be in the hospital because, it's kind of a thing where you just got to sleep that off. they developed this system where they could have retired and kind of old EMS vans that they converted. And basically my team goes around and will go and just help people out and just different people who are in a different weird kind of crisis situation that's not quite, you don't quite need EMS or you don't quite need the police, but you do need someone to help out this person or look after this person because they are in kind of a unsafe situation and they need someone to kind of help them out. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now is I'm driving a big old EMS van around and helping people out in kind of weird situations.
That's great. So you're helping out some people who are in need right now. And what has that been like? What's the experience been like for you?
It's been a lot different. Like, it's very interesting to be doing it just in general. It's definitely been a thing where it's like, watching God, just seeing how God has equipped me. And like kind of brought me to this place and just like, I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing to be like, wow, I wasn't really expecting to not be, I wasn't expecting to be in Edmonton. I wasn't expecting to be doing this job at all. I had originally signed up for a totally different job, but with COVID, this is where God's kind of placed me. And it's been very interesting to see how, God's ways just aren't our ways and how sometimes you end up in weird situations, but God is totally planned and equipped and like put you there despite all the things going on and what you would have expected.
That's great. So what are you learning? What's God doing in your life these days? What's he teaching you?
I feel like I'm learning a lot about humility. You don't realize how puffed up you are in things till God says, actually no. even just living with roommates and having to be in like a situation where you're like, wow, sometimes I think I'm pretty great, but I'm not. And sometimes I suck a little bit too. and also I'm leading a Bible study right now and we're going through Mark. And one of the things that Mark talks about is like, considering yourself no greater than the person you're serving, and like the greatest person is the servant. So in working a job where you're working with maybe someone who's very intoxicated or very just done some very silly behaviors that have left them in a really compromised way, to still like approach that, come into that job and come into talking to that person as like, no, you're still very much made in the image of God, and you are, I am no better than you, even in this moment when you're kind of in a despicable spot. I am still called to be a servant here and called to elevate you above myself, and just be so committed to showing you the love and the care of Christ.
Wow. Heidi, I love the way that you have brought together the place where you are serving with the things that you are learning in scripture, and the way that those two have overlapped, that as you are working with people who are vulnerable, people who have made mistakes, you are not coming to them as someone who is sort of condescending, oh, I'm here to help you, but you're coming and saying, I'm learning in scripture that I am here to serve you. And so, wow, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Heidi. Mm-hmm. That's great. I had asked Jody if she would speak up and offer a prayer for Heidi this morning. So could we turn it over to Jody? Thank you so much, Heidi, for sharing. We'd just love to pray for you today. Mm-hmm. That's great. We'll turn it over to Jody.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful woman that Heidi is, and I'm just blessed that I've gotten to watch her to grow into such a lovely young woman, Lord, that loves you and loves people. And I thank you for the big heart she has, Lord, how she loves on people where they're at with no expectations, Lord, and how she just, yeah, is able to see the heart of a person and not the stuff going on the outside, Lord. And I thank you that she's able to use those gifts this summer. In the midst of all this craziness with COVID, Lord, you have given her an opportunity to serve and use the heart you've given her, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to bless this opportunity the rest of this summer, that she uses it, Lord, that she would continue to be used by you to spread your love, Lord, to others who are not in good places, Lord, who need to know that they are loved and cared for, Lord, and valued. And I thank you that Heidi has that kind of heart. And I also just pray for her as she looks at a new adventure in the fall and different things coming up, Lord, and that you would bless that as well, Lord, that you would go before her and that you would trot out her path for her, Lord, and that she would see you in the middle of it, Lord. And again, I just thank you for her. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jody, and thanks, Heidi. I think you really blessed our congregation by sharing a little bit of God at work in your life this morning. So thank you very much. I'm sure all the people on the call here were really encouraged by that. Thank you. We're now going to turn it over to Sarah Bender, who's going to offer our congregational prayer this morning.
I'm unmuted. Can everybody hear me? Yes. Okay. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you that we have the privilege to gather together in this unique and interesting way as we have. We thank you, even with the song that we sing, that you comfort those who are in need, you lift us up, and that we will have strength when we wait upon you. Teach us, Lord, to continue to wait on you in these days that are strange and unique. I pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us as families and individuals, how you want us to use this time, whether that's to do more Bible study, whether that's to dig deeper in a marriage or in a family relationship, whether that's extended family or friendships that you are calling us to reach out and connect with others. I pray that we would be faithful to that end. We thank you that we are entering into the summer season, and we thank you for all of the teachers, some in our congregation and those that teach our children, as they've had an incredibly steep learning curve this year. I pray that you would bless them as they finish up their years, and that you would give them rest this summer, and that there would be some clear direction as to how we move forward in the fall. And I again pray for the children of our congregation and the children in the community that we serve, that you would watch over them this summer. Those ones that are vulnerable, that they'd be able to connect with ministries that are still operating in the communities that they live in. and help us to support those efforts in those organizations that are helping the most vulnerable in our communities. God, help us to remember the seniors in our life as they have been impacted so significantly by this pandemic. And so we pray that we would remember them and reach out to them and send them a note of encouragement or a phone call to let them know that we love them, that you love them, and that that you would continue to watch over them. God, we lift up to you people within our congregation that are hurting and struggling right now. We think of Ron and Heather Plett, who are struggling as Ron's brother is palliative at this point. We just pray for a real strength for their family as they face these days ahead of them. Help them to come together as a family to encourage his brother as he passes on. And we pray that it would be a peaceful passing for him. God, we lift up Lynette and Brenda Murdoch as they both have had fathers that have passed away recently. And again, in this COVID time, it's so strange because we can't gather the way that we would normally wish to gather when we're grieving. And so I pray that you would be especially near to them and their families as they are in this time of grief. Please comfort them as only you can. And God, we also pray for Chris and Stu Duffin's neighbor, who their little baby has a brain tumor. And we don't understand at all why things like this happen. But I pray in this time that you would allow Chris and Stu to be an encouragement to this family, that you would give wisdom to the medical teams that I'm sure are scrambling to figure out what to do and how to treat this tumor. I just pray for peace for the parents and the extended family, that they would know that you are in control and that you have them in the palm of your hand. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. As we call out to you, you hear us. And you pour out your grace and mercy on your children. And we thank you for that this morning. Continue to bless our time together and that your spirit would be working and moving in our hearts and lives this morning. We give you the honor and glory because you are worthy of all of our honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for that, Sarah. My kids are just getting set up over here, so you're going to hear a little bit of rustling in the background, but as I was saying to someone recently, it's unity. No one cares. So I'm sure that you guys are having the same thing where you are these days. So, would you grab your Bibles? We're going to go to Numbers chapter 21. This is a pretty well-known story in Numbers. If you grew up in Sunday school, you can probably picture what's going on in this story on the flannel graph if you're my age or older. We're gonna be in this story together. We're gonna take some things from it. We're gonna do our discussion closer to the end. So I'm gonna start. So we are going to go to Numbers chapter 21, and I am going to share my screen with you. I have it on the screen, but I still encourage you to have your own scriptures in front of you. So Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out. This is speaking of the Israelites in the desert. They set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people of Israel it's speaking about, the people became impatient on their way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. And the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's an interesting story, isn't it? We're gonna take it and deal with it in two parts. The first part is about patience, and the second part, we're gonna deal with the snakes. So we're gonna take the patience part first. As a kid growing up, our family vacation every year, my parents would pull us out of school, end of April, beginning of May, and we would make the long drive from Hamilton, Southern Ontario, down to St. Petersburg, Florida, which is about 24 hours of driving, plus all of our stops in between. And it was a long trip. We would do this over 2 to 3 days, and it takes about 3 hours to get out of Ontario and get through the border, and then it's 2 hours at Michigan and 4 hours through Ohio and 3 hours through Kentucky and another 3 through Tennessee and 5 through Georgia and 4 going through Florida till we finally hit St. Petersburg. And so you can imagine that in our car, there were a lot of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Over and over again. And interestingly, this trip never taught me patience. I am not a particularly patient person. And so as I speak about patience this morning, I pin my video because I find you guys too distracting. So I'm like quite literally preaching to myself at the moment. So you are quite free to listen in, but this one's for me, my friends. I really didn't learn patience very well. Patience has two parts to it, as I've been chewing on what patience is. We all know that patience is sort of this urgency, this unsettledness that we want to get to something else. We can't wait for the something else to come. And that's the one half of it. It's like, I can't wait to get to Florida. I just want to be in Florida, right? So picture me in the back seat. That's the one part of patience. But the other part of patience is sort of a willingness, or if you're impatient, and sort of an unwillingness to accept what we're currently in, what we're currently doing. It's not just that we're longing for something else, it's that we're currently dissatisfied with what's going on. So once again, picture me in the back seat driving down to Florida, and I'm sick of my siblings, and I've played my Game Boy, and I've read my Hardy Boys novels, and I'm just sitting around going, I hate this car. And it's an unwillingness to accept what's currently going on, the situation that we're currently in. So patience has those two parts. Where does impatience come from? Well, I think in our passage, it shows us if sort of a back and forth relationship, that in a sense, impatience comes from ingratitude. And you see this come out in our text, that these people are complaining that there's no food and we hate this food. Do you notice that in the text? They say there's no food and we hate it. We hate the food we've got. There's an ingratitude. It's not being grateful for what God is currently doing for them, what he has done for them and is currently doing for them, that God's provision isn't currently enough. They're discontent. They're dissatisfied with the situation they're currently in. They're griping in the back seat, just like I was. They're not grateful. You know, I'm looking at myself here. We live impatient lives. I live impatiently when I don't actually accept what God is currently doing in the moment. And that maybe that is okay, and that maybe the moment, whatever it happens to be, for good or bad, can be God's gift to us at the moment. So ingratitude can lead to impatience, but it also works the other way too, that impatience can send us into ingratitude. If we're not accepting what's currently going on, if we want something different, then we start to overlook the things that are currently good in our lives and we don't become grateful what is currently good and what God is giving us in the moment. You know, I'm so upset in the back seat about, I hate my siblings and there's not enough room here and my butt hurts and so on, that I actually overlook that, hey, my parents gave me a Game Boy. And I have these novels, and the mountains in Tennessee are absolutely beautiful in the mornings. And I overlooked so many of those things. And so impatience often leads to ingratitude. And these two things together can become a stumbling block to our own learning and to asking some of the important questions about the journey that I think our in-between times really need us to ask. And our Israelite brothers and sisters here really haven't asked those hard questions that we've been talking about in these last couple of weeks. Their impatience and their ingratitude has actually made them focus on the wrong things. And they haven't been asking, why the long journey? You know, if this is a God who can absolutely decimate Egypt and their enemies, could he not have picked them up and put them in the promised land? Why the long journey? Well, maybe it was to teach them patience. Maybe it was to teach them to accept life as it is and as God gives it to them now. Why the long journey? Maybe because it takes a long time to learn patience. Maybe because it takes a long time to learn trust. You know, maybe it's because it takes a long time to learn to live in circumstances that are outside of our control, and you just can't get that instantly. But unfortunately, our friends didn't ask those questions and didn't learn from those mistakes. They didn't ask why the manna. And we talked about this the other week. They were too impatient to learn dependence. They were too impatient to learn contentment, despite the fact that God kept trying to teach them that. They didn't learn gratitude. Again, our impatience gets in the way. I think patience might actually be necessary for God to make us the people that we've asked him to make us. Have you asked God to change you? Have you asked God to do his work in your life? God is committed to the long, hard work of working with you. So maybe we need to be patient with ourselves and patient with God, because it's not an instantaneous thing. And that's really hard for the guy I'm currently looking at on the screen. I have always struggled with patience. And it's the old church joke about you don't ask God to teach you patience because it's going to be hard. And I think that is one of the main lessons that God wants to teach these Israelites in this in-between time. But what about us? In our in-between time, we're doing these episodes in between because we are at an in-between time at the moment. Life's not as it was and it's not as it will be, and we're stuck with restrictions and other things we don't like, and we gripe and complain and get impatient. And well, what does God want to teach us in the wilderness of our in-between right now? So that's patience. Now let's talk. Let's change the topic. And let's talk about the snakes. I want us to go into our discussion groups and ask the question, why the snakes? So there's sort of two parts. Why does God send snakes? And why does he send snakes? All right, so the first is the why. I want you to ask, why does God send snakes? And then secondly, why does God send snakes? And I want to give you something to chew on. There's the verse you're going to need. And here's Pharaoh. And you notice that I've blown up two parts of the picture of Pharaoh. And there's an overlap between that and our passage. So I'd like you guys to chew on these two questions together. Why does God send snakes? And why does God send snakes? So we're going to take about 7 or 8 minutes or so in our groups and just come up with some of these questions. And if you answer your questions quickly, talk about what you can learn from it. But we're going to come back in a few minutes after you've done your discussion groups, and we're going to share a little bit. All right, it looks like we're all back. Welcome back. I hope you had some interesting discussion. I would love to hear a little bit of what you talked about. So there's more than one answer here, I think. So it's probably not a matter of right or wrong answers, but just what were some things that you saw in your group? What came up for you guys? Why did God send snakes? And why did God send snakes? Anyone want to offer anything to share? You go down to the participants button and you raise a hand, and we'll see who would like to offer something from their group that might be a gift to the other people on our Zoom service here this morning. So feel free to click a hand and we'll see what we get here. Who's going to be our brave one to go first? I remember Kristen preaching a couple of months back and saying, I'm a teacher, so I'm quite comfortable with silence. I'm not a teacher, and I'm uncomfortable with silence, so please help me out here. Okay, I think there's a Bender hand going up. Could we hear from the Benders?
Oh, sure. I was just going to say, I noticed, Ben, in the pictures that you put up of Pharaoh, you could see on his paraphernalia, he had a lot of snakes, so snakes on his headpiece and on his clothing and whatever. And again, I think that the snakes were a reminder of Egypt and sort of saying, okay, you're complaining. You want to go back to that? So here's what the Egyptian people worshipped. Here's what they was the height of their culture was worshiping snakes. And so here you go. Here's your snakes. If you really want to go back to Egypt and go back to slavery and what that was like, here's your snakes.
That's great. Thanks, Sarah. I think you're bang on. Well done. Thank you very much. I see a hand here and it doesn't say a name. So whoever raised the hand, please go ahead.
It's Susanna.
Hi, Susanna.
Two of the comments that came out in our group, one was that snakes would remind the people of like Adam and Eve and the snake and sin. So it was a reminder of their sin. And then the other was that it was symbolic, like as the snake was raised in the desert, Christ was raised as our healer.
Right. Once again, bang on. Thank you very much, Susanna. Well done, groups. Well done, everyone. Guys, you remember that picture I showed you, I think it was last week, of the 7 different satellites that needed to work together to see the black hole? You guys just did that. And so let me remind you that we need one another together as we read scripture. And you don't need the paid professional. You need each other. And you can do so much together and come up with it together as you just did. So well done. Absolutely. I think when you guys bring up those two things about Egypt and about Eden and those being related, and both of those bring death, don't they? These are poisonous snakes. You want to go back to Egypt? Sure, I will send Egypt to you. You want to go your own way and listen to the snake? Absolutely. Here's what it's going to do to you. It's going to kill you. This is an object lesson using some of their symbolic imagery. Imagery out of the Bible, imagery out of the culture they've been in. And you guys picked that up. Absolutely. Well done. Thank you. As I was reading this passage this week, I was asking God to show me, God, like, what's my Egypt? Like, rather than preaching at these people, what's my Egypt? Talk to me about this. I need to hear this first. And what's my Egypt in this in-between time? And so I'm going to preach to myself again. You're welcome to listen in. I've been thinking a lot about Egypt in terms of this COVID-19 thing and in terms of the in-between time that we're in. And I was asking God to show me sort of what that might be in my own life. That Egypt is slavery for these people. To ask to go back to Egypt is to ask for more slavery. And I was asking, you know, God, like, what happens if, like, what would it mean if we were actually coming out of something and to go back to our old way of living, our pre-COVID-19 way of living? What if that was actually asking for Egypt? So just like, God, what are some of these things that maybe I'm enslaved to that you need to free me from? And how has COVID-19 sort of raised that for me? And what he brought to mind was sort of some of the things that felt threatened. When this whole thing was going down and some of us, I was panicking and wondering, you know, what is the world going to be like? You know, as pandemic was just declared and what's happening in these grocery stores and oh my goodness, like, do I need to take all the money out of my bank account? And like, what, I don't know what's going to happen. And some of my fears just revolved around finances and, you know, either I'll be okay because I've got something in the savings, or will I have enough? And both of those thoughts really showed me that I was enslaved and trusting and dependent on and serving money. That in a sense that Egypt, my Egypt was money. And that I was serving a kingdom, sort of building this, you know, aiming for a middle class, upper middle class life. And I think I was tricked. And then I was reading this thing this week. Let me just show it to you on the screen. This is Jim Houston. Jim Houston is the founder of Regent College, which means that he was the founding teacher and principal of the school that I went to. And, you know, I don't know if you ever thought about what it would take to start a school. But how do you start a school with no students, no faculty, and no buildings? And you have to have money for all of these things. And as he was reflecting on that situation, here's what he said. I sometimes had to resist the potential patronage, the donations, or people who wanted to donate and ask, are we spiritually ready to receive $1 million? Money deceptively promises ever greater freedom, but at what cost to an institution's spiritual character? Do the board and administration become preoccupied with projects and development for their own sake so that the original vision is lost? Do politics supersede spiritual values? Do we feel as dependent on God for our continuance as when our institution was first founded? And, you know, I read that and then I had this feeling like, well, what if I changed these words and made this not about a school? Money deceptively promises ever greater freedom, but at what cost to a person's spiritual character? I think I had my answer. God, where's my Egypt? Do the people become preoccupied with projects and development for their own sake, serving themselves, so that the original vision of serving God is lost? Do our dreams for houses and travel and retirement and children's education and financial independence and renovations and electronic devices, I'm preaching to myself here, people, friends, I should say, I'm preaching to myself. Do our dreams for these things supersede our spiritual values? Mine. Do we feel as dependent on God for our continuance as when our life in Christ was first founded? These were hard questions for me. And it made me ask a little bit about if things go back, I don't think they're going to go back. But, you know, do I want to go back to something that was actually deceptive for me? Do I want that life? No, I've just been asking myself, you know, what does God want to teach me during these in-between times? And I think my impatience, my desire to get back and my discontentment with the current situation and my worries about where it might go or what might still happen sort of also raised some idols for me about what I might be enslaved to. And I got to ask some hard questions about going back to Egypt or not. So I'd invite you to ask some of those questions as you ponder this stuff as well. I think every year I get us to pray this prayer because I love this prayer, and I think it's such a mature way of looking at the world. So to wrap up, I would invite us to pray the Serenity Prayer together. And I've got the full version here. So let's pray this together. And then we're going to move back into our singing. If you guys want to come over, we're going to pray the prayer that I taught you guys the other day. Let's pray it together, okay? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. Let's sing It Is Well together.
It is well with with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well.
All right, look at that. We're about to finish on time. Well done, everyone. It's been good to be together. I'm glad that we've been able to spend this time worshiping together. So thanks for being here. We've got just a few announcements before we go, and then we'll finish on time. It took me a little while, and so I imagine it's taken you, many of you, a little while as well, to get some donations together for Hope Mission's summer project. So if you'll remember, when Scott from Hope Mission visited us a couple of weeks ago, he shared that they're putting together all of these summer fun packs because the biggest need that kids have these days is that they are bored out of their minds. And you know that when kids are bored, they get into trouble. And so Hope Mission has been visiting the kids in their programs to spend time with them and share, like, at a distance, but and then also share with them some gifts, some toys that are helping them in a small way to do some different things, some fun things through the summer. And so you can either donate those things directly to Hope Mission. They are currently renting space in New Life Fellowship, and you can drop it off there. You can get in touch with Scott or me, and I can give you more info. He also said that if it's easier for you, it costs about $30 to put together a package that they are delivering to a kid. And so if that's easier, you can donate right to Hope Mission Red Deer, I believe right from their website. But if you want to check in with me or Christina or Scott directly, we can make sure that you get the information that you need. So I hope that we can all show our support of this organization because we really like what they're doing. Secondly, this coming Wednesday at 7:00, we are doing our AGM over Zoom. So please join in. I will be sending out the link this week to that meeting. And along with that, to our members, we will be sending out the Google form that you will need to access in order to vote. Some of the voting we'll be able to do just by simple hand, but others, it actually requires sort of secret ballots for our elections. And so that's what the form is going to be for. And we have scrutineers lined up for that as well. So please do join us, 7 p.m. If you've been asking why we are still online and not meeting, well, you can read my AGM report, which I sent out last week. And we'll also talk more about that at the meeting. We'll have time for conversation about that as well. Dave now has an announcement, which we've tried to get in over the last couple of weeks about giving, but haven't been able to. So Dave, are you still around?
There we go. Yeah, I'm still around.
Great. So
I wanted to let everybody know the giving, everybody's been continuing to give, even though with quarantine and all of that, but we wanted to make things a little easier for everyone. The communication will come out this week, but we've figured out how you can just email money to the church rather than having to try to, you know, stuff it in the mail or stuff it in the door at the church. You can just email us at bookkeeper@unitybaptist.ca, but we'll send you all the details in this week's communication.
Cool. Thanks, Dave. Right now, you'll notice that there's something in the chat. There are actually two links this time in the chat. So someone suggested to me this week that maybe we have a chat after the service to continue the conversation about something that came up during the message or something like that. So I thought, hey, we'll give that a shot. So if you want to mingle and say hello to your friends, you can go to that first one that says Sunday Fellowship. If you'd like sort of further conversation on what some of the things we've been talking about, asking the question, you know, what's Egypt? What might that be like for us in the days of COVID-19 and so on? You can join me on the other conversation that says further conversation there. So pick your poison or something like that. And it's been good to be together. So thanks for joining us this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. Take care.